Thank you for listening to the New Hope Christian Church podcast for the weekend of July 24, 2022. This week's sermon is titled Intentional Listening by lead pastor Kerry Yeck.
Thank you, David. I need you to turn your Bibles with me to Luke chapter 18 and hold that. The modern day stethoscope is traced back to the year 1816. A French doctor named René Laennec wanted to come up with a better way of listening to a patient's heart rather than having to place his ear directly on the patient's chest. He had observed that even if you take a piece of paper and you hold it to the physician's ear and the patient, even that magnifies the sound of a person's beating heart. So he carved a more permanent hearing device out of wood. And from that came our modern-day stethoscope. It said that Laennec would tell doctors and nurses, and I quote here, "If you use this tool, don't stop listening to your patients. They will tell you how to heal them." Laennec didn't want physicians and nurses simply listening to hearts and lungs with his invention. What he wanted them, more importantly, was to listen to their patients, the words and the feelings that they were sharing and describing to them. Because people matter to God, God wants people to personally know the one who created them, loves them, longs to spend eternity with them. And because people matter to God, people should also matter to us. And all around us are individuals, marriages, families, an entire culture that is in need of help, hope, and healing. We know, as believers, that Jesus Christ is the only one who can rescue us from the painful effects of sin. And so this summer, we're rolling out some practical ways that you and I can arrange a meeting between people who are separated from God by their sin and the God who wants to know them, who wants to be known by them. We first discovered how necessary it is and how important it is that we pray. We pray for specific people, asking God to open doors of communication with them. Since Jesus commanded us to love your neighbor as yourself, we need to begin loving our neighbors by first praying for them. And the next step in loving our neighbor, or really loving anyone, is to listen. You see, every human being has a story. Unfortunately, most of us are so anxious for others to hear our story, we forget that loving others begins by listening to their story. Listening isn't a chromosome. It isn't a gene that we have inside. It isn't a talent that some people are given and others are not. Listening is a skill that needs to be developed. It's a muscle that needs to be exercised. Listening is a tool that needs to be utilized. Because listening is oftentimes equated with loving, and because listening is so desperately needed in our society today, I think it would be wise to listen more than once, not just to this message, but to next week's message on listening as well. So, Luke chapter 18, let me set the stage here. In today's text, Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem to participate in the Passover feast. This will be the last time in his earthly life that he passes through or goes through the city of Jericho. As was so often the case, there is a large crowd following Jesus. Some are shouting at Jesus, trying to get his attention. Either they had illnesses or diseases they needed to be healed of, or they had relatives who did. Many of these people had questions they wanted Jesus to answer. Some of them even had suggestions they wanted Jesus to hear. So as Jesus approaches Jericho, there's a blind man sitting by the road who is begging. Much like beggars today, roads near cities and villages are where you're going to come in contact with the greatest number of people. So, Luke chapter 18, and I'm going to begin reading from verse 35. As Jesus approached Jericho, a blind beggar was sitting beside the road. When he heard the noise of a crowd going past, he asked what was happening. They told him that Jesus the Nazarene was going by. So he began shouting, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." "Be quiet," the people in front yelled at him, but he only shouted louder, "Son of David, have mercy on me." When Jesus heard him, he stopped and ordered that the man be brought to him. As the man came near, Jesus asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" "Lord," he said, "I want to see." And Jesus said, "All right, receive your sight. Your faith has healed you." Instantly, the man could see, and he followed Jesus, praising God, and all who saw it praised God too. So if you have your outlines there, I want to look first of all at Bartimaeus's example. In verses 36 through 39, we see that Bartimaeus listened for Jesus, okay? Jesus had gone public with his ministry 3+ years earlier when he turned water into wine at a marriage feast in Cana of Galilee. By now, everybody in the entire region has heard about the great teacher and the many miracles that he had performed. And yet, in spite of that, not everyone believed. Most of Israel's religious leaders viewed Jesus with a great deal of skepticism, even hate. Even Jesus' disciples seemed to struggle at times with Jesus' identity and who he is. But a blind beggar named Bartimaeus had heard enough about Jesus to conclude that yes, he was in fact the long-awaited, much-anticipated Holy One sent from God. In fact, the title Son of David was well known by the Jewish people as describing the Messiah. So when Bartimaeus hears that Jesus is in a crowd that is approaching him, he shouts out, "Jesus, Son of David," in other words, "Messiah, have mercy on me." The one that Bartimaeus had heard so much about, the one with whom Bartimaeus knew could heal him, was coming closer and closer. Now, the Hebrew writer reminds us it is impossible to please God without faith. And anyone who comes to God must not only believe that God exists, but that God rewards those who sincerely and earnestly seek after him. And so even though many in the crowd were saying to Bartimaeus, "Shut up! Shut up! Don't bother the teacher," he couldn't. His faith in God was such, his need was such, it compelled Bartimaeus to shout even louder, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Just like in Bartimaeus' day, there are people today who deny Jesus, deny that he is who he claimed to be, even hate Jesus. But when the world ridicules those of us who are listening for Jesus, or censors us for sharing Jesus with others, we believe, like Bartimaeus, that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. We believe that Jesus is the only one who can bring us hope and healing. When we behold the beauty of God's creation and marvel at what God has done, Jesus smiles that we appreciate his work. When we open our eyes and we give glory to Jesus for the miracles that we have observed, Jesus gears up to give us even more miracles to see. When we love and have compassion on other people, Jesus takes note that we care about what he cares about. And we believe that because Jesus said he was in the midst where two or three believers are gathered in his name, we believe he's in this auditorium right here, right now. He is here. Listen closely. Hear him calling out your name. He is here. You can touch him. And like Bartimaeus, you will never be the same. In verses 41 through 43, we discover that not only was Bartimaeus listening for Jesus, Bartimaeus was listening to Jesus. We learn in these verses that Jesus heard Bartimaeus' cry, and we're going to delve into that a little bit here. And then Jesus asked Bartimaeus, "What do you want me to do for you?" The Lord of the universe, the God with whom nothing is impossible, presents Bartimaeus with a blank check. "What do you want me to do for you?" Have you ever received good news that was almost too good to be true? I'll never forget the day my oncologist looked me in the eyes after 5 months of intensive chemotherapy and thousands of prayers. He said, "You're cancer-free." I don't know how I looked on the outside, but on the inside, man, I was running and leaping and praising God. Bartimaeus didn't question what he just heard. Bartimaeus didn't ask Jesus for clarification or confirmation. "Now, did you just say what I think you said?" Bartimaeus was blind. Folks, he's blind, and because he was blind, he had developed the skill of listening in order to survive. And so when he hears Jesus ask this question, he answers right away with conviction. He didn't have to think about it. He quickly, simply said, "Lord, I want to hear or see. I want to see." Jesus offered Bartimaeus an invitation, and he claimed it right there and then. And Jesus said it was because of Bartimaeus' faith, his conviction, his boldness, that he received his sight. Now we read elsewhere in Scripture where Jesus said, "If you really believe and have no heart or doubt in your heart, you can pray for anything and you will receive it. You will even move mountains if you have faith." We've read that scripture before. If that's the case, why aren't Christians moving more mountains? Number one, James tells us in his letter, one of the reasons is because we don't ask. We just assume that God didn't really mean that. Bible's filled with prayers and promises. And there's power when we come to God in prayer and we remind him of his promises to us. But a lot of times we just don't ask. Number two, James says another reason we don't move mountains is because when we ask, we really don't believe God's going to move mountains anyway. We doubt, we hesitate, we question. And number three, James says we don't move mountains because oftentimes when we ask, we have wrong motives. I mean, come on, be honest. When you hear Jesus say that if you ask, you can have anything, don't most of us kind of go into a selfish mode? Whoa, anything, Jesus? All too often we think of prayer as some kind of a lottery, and God is this magic genie and he's going to do whatever we want instead of his will. Anyway, Bartimaeus listened for Jesus, he listened to Jesus, as should we. I want to look at Jesus' example now. In verse 35, we see that Jesus listened to his Father and the Spirit. Why was Jesus in Jericho? Now, we could reply by saying geographically, Jericho was on the way to Jerusalem. We could say that conveniently, Jesus was in Jericho because there was a main road that was attaching Jericho to Jerusalem. And both of those answers would be true. But the reality is, Jesus was in Jericho because that's where and when the Father and the Spirit wanted Jesus to be. Jesus said, "The Son can do nothing by himself. I can do nothing on my own. I have come down from heaven to do the will of God who sent me, not to do my will." Both Matthew and Luke tell us that on one occasion, Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness where he was tempted by Satan. Jesus listened carefully to when and where the Father and the Spirit would lead him. Jesus said that what the Father and the Spirit told him to say, that's what he would say. He was in Jericho because he was led by the Father and the Spirit to be in Jericho at that time. In that place, at that moment. We too need to listen closely to what the Father and the Spirit are telling us. Because God wants to be intimately involved in every one of our lives. God wants our lives to intersect with the lives of those who need him. The Apostle Paul would say in Acts chapter 17, "In God we live, we move, we have our very being." Why is it that God has to remind us, "Be still and know that I am God"? Because the truth is, we're so busy. We don't have enough time in our day that we don't take that time to be still and know that he is God. And all too often when we do come to God in prayer, we're kind of like the conversations we have with other people. We're doing most of the talking and very little listening. Be still and know that I am God. When the boy Samuel was living with the prophet Eli, God came to speak directly to Samuel in the middle of the night. And Samuel had never had a personal conversation with the Lord before. So when he hears the Lord's voice, he thought it must be the voice of Eli the prophet. So he hears the Lord's voice three times. He thinks it's Eli. So he goes over to Eli the prophet, wakes him up three times. And Eli's like, go back to bed. You know, you're hearing things. After the third time, Eli finally figures out, God himself is trying to talk to Samuel. So the prophet instructed the boy, "The next time you hear the voice of God, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" Sure enough, God called to Samuel a fourth time, and this time Samuel says, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." And God went on to tell Samuel some amazing plans. How often when we come before God do we bring with us this long list of prayer requests that looks something like a Christmas shopping list? And how often do we come and quietly, silently sit before the Lord and say, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening"? Or how many times when we get ready to open the Word of God, do we preface doing so by saying, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening"? When Jesus told his disciples, "I have set for you an example that you should do it for others as I have done for you," he was talking about way more than just serving others. It included learning from Jesus how to pray. It included learning from Jesus how to deal with people. It included learning from Jesus how to have faith in the Father. And it included learning from Jesus how to listen to the Father and the Spirit. Simeon was a devout man of God. He had been promised by God that he would not die before he was able to see the Messiah. When Jesus was taken to Jerusalem by his parents at 8 days of age to be circumcised, the Holy Spirit spoke to Simeon, told him where to be in the temple at the precise time when Mary and Joseph were there in the temple with their newborn. Consequently, Simeon was privileged to see the Messiah before he died because he listened to the Holy Spirit and did what the Holy Spirit told him to do. In Acts chapter 8, we'll be looking at that in a little more detail next week. Philip was directed by the Holy Spirit to stand at a specific road at a specific time so that he could lead a seeker to the Lord. And today there is a treasure from Ethiopia 20 centuries ago who is in heaven with the Lord because Philip listened to the leading of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit of God still wants to lead us today. I'm convinced that he does so when we listen to him in his word. And we understand that what he's saying in his word is coming directly from God. At other times, the Holy Spirit prompts us to speak to someone, to help someone, to pray for someone, because he knows their needs and we don't. And I don't know about you, but I'm confessing before you today, there are far too many times when I was ignoring those promptings because I didn't realize what they were. And I just wasn't listening. We need to listen to the Father and the Spirit, even as Jesus did 20 centuries ago. And then finally, we see in verses 40 and 41, Jesus listens to us. Now, get the picture here if you can. Jesus is surrounded by people as he's walking. Many of them are shouting his name, trying to get his attention. And yet, amidst all of the commotion, amidst all of the noise, Jesus heard Bartimaeus. Like a mother who's with other mothers, and they're together, and all of a sudden, somebody's child starts to cry. That mother knows her child's cry, doesn't she? Jesus hears Bartimaeus. And at that moment, Jesus didn't preach to Bartimaeus. Jesus didn't counsel Bartimaeus. Jesus asked Bartimaeus one question: what do you want me to do for you? And I'm telling you that regardless of how many billions of people live on planet Earth, regardless of how much noise there may be around us, Jesus hears us. He listens for our pleas that we have for help. He has always been and he will always be the ultimate listener. In a world where so many people feel like nobody cares for them, the greatest act of love may very well be that individual who genuinely, intently, unselfishly takes time to listen to others. You see, most people aren't looking for someone to point out their faults, to show them their errors, to tell them how careless they've been. Most people aren't asking today for our advice and our opinions, at least not right away. Most people just want a listening ear. And few actions say, "I care, I love you," more than someone who is willing to listen. I'm saying listening is usually the first step required before somebody's going to open up. And we need to know the right questions to ask. The German theologian and pastor Dietrich Bonhoeffer once observed, and I quote, "Just as love for God begins by listening to his word, so loving our neighbor begins by listening to what they say." I think I put an equation there in your outline that says it like this: listening to someone plus getting to know someone equals someone feeling loved. And I don't mean this negatively, I'm just being honest. The problem with most of us is that we would rather be heard than we would hear. We'd rather tell others our life story rather than hearing their life story. We're more intent on making sure that people understand me than we are understanding others. Stephen Covey wrote in his book entitled The Seven Habits of Effective People, Highly Effective People, and I quote, "Seek first to understand before wanting to be understood." That's not natural. It requires total unselfishness. And only someone who has died to their selfish nature and put on a Christ-like nature is capable of understanding others before wanting others to understand us. Only someone who has been born again, only a follower of Jesus Christ, is capable of such selfless caring. Bill Belichick has won 6 Super Bowl championships as the head coach of the New England Patriots, and 2 more Super Bowl championships as the defensive coordinator of the New York Giants. Many consider Belichick to be one of the best football coaches of all time. He's especially known for his ability to size up what the opponent has done in the first half of a game, make adjustments at halftime that will exploit his opponent's weaknesses and tendencies in the second half of the game. It's well past time for the Church of Jesus Christ to make a halftime adjustment. Now, don't get me wrong here. Over the last few decades, I think the Church of Jesus Christ has worked hard to try and communicate the gospel with people. We host Super Bowl parties, or we put on pageants and programs, or host movie nights or picnics. We try and interact with the community. We go out into the community, and we do things for the community. And all of that is great as a means of trying to connect with the lost. We've tried to simplify how we communicate with the gospel, you know, these cute little things that we can do. And even a few years ago, we came up with tracts that put the gospel in a small little form and then left them places so that people could find them. We've modernized our music and tuned up our technology and utilized social media. And after all is said and done, and we're working hard at it, church attendance continues to decline. Christianity is practiced less and less, and the Bible is no longer a moral North Star for government or education or even many churches. Now, I'm not saying we quit those things, but I think we're in the fourth quarter of human history. It's about time to make an adjustment in our strategy. Again, not that we neglect the things that we're doing to try and share the gospel, but we add to it. And we started a few weeks ago by looking at how important prayer is. Prayer for our neighbors, prayer for our family, prayer for our friends. Something that all of us can do. Prayer that God would open up the doors of opportunities to share with people. And while we pray for those who have yet to connect with Jesus, we need to also care for them. And few things demonstrate our compassion and our care more than disciplining ourselves to listen to others. So I got 2 assignments for you this week. Hopefully you got room on your outline. You can write there as we prepare for the next week's message on listening. The first is this. In your conversations this week, really focus on what percentage of people are intent on talking about themselves and what percentage of people are intent on listening to others. Might be surprised. And the second thing is begin making a list of questions so that when you're in a conversation, maybe even with a total stranger, here's some questions that I can ask of this individual to dig deeper into their lives and find out what their story is. You see, our story, as important as it is, grabs its meaning when we connect our story with their story. Jesus asked the question, "What can I do for you?" I think he's still asking the question today. And if you have a question or you want to know, then come on over to the patio. And someone will help you answer that question. On the other hand, if you have people and neighbors that you want to pray for, then when the service is done, come on over to the prayer wall. And we'll lift those names up in prayer.